Hey everyone, and welcome to the Storage Review Podcast. I'm Brian Beeler. With me today, we've got two guests, not one but two, from QNAP Systems. Good friend Eric Oliveros and a new friend Deval Panara. So welcome, Eric.
Thank you, Brian. Good to be here.
And Deval.
Thank you very much, and good to be here too.
Yeah, look at that. So we'll see how this goes. This will be the first time we've tried two remote guests at once. It could be magnificent. It could be a disastrous accident, but we'll find out together. So, I mean, I think everyone knows QNAP. I mean, you guys have been around in the NAS space forever at this point. How long has it been, Eric? I mean, how long have you guys been at this game?
QNAP has been around since 2004, and in the U.S., we've been around since about 2008. So we're pretty much worldwide, and U.S. market, we've been around since about 2008.
What was the first product that you remember from QNAP? But, I mean, you've been there a little while, but what was the first one you remember?
Oh, man. I came around about 2011, so that was the 59 series Atom-powered NAS. And we also have this big lineup of MVRs that was the thing. It's like, ooh, we got MVRs and NAS. So that was the evolution has been pretty crazy. But
so yeah. How do you guys think about that? Because you talk about the evolution, and you guys will sell anything from a one or even a two bay NAS that's, you know, $150 all the way up to rack mount solutions. And we'll get to the accessories like the switches and other stuff eventually. But how do you guys compartmentalize that as an organization? And now you've got multiple operating systems. So let's just break that down for me in terms of how you visualize that and how do you attack all those such broad variety of markets?
Yeah, I mean, our strategy has pretty much been different strokes for different folks. You know, we have capacity and budget. A NAS for whatever capacity and whatever budget. Pretty much any customer is looking for. We got, we made our bones on the SMB kind of enterprise segment, and we evolved into the whole consumer side, which opened up a whole new kind of gamut of stuff. For multimedia servers, for just private cloud, and then the whole, surveillance stuff. And then we started focusing on a distinct market, which we were, I think we still are the industry first guys to do a NAS for creatives that has Thunderbolt 3. Yeah. So, we just wanted to cover pretty much all our bases. And it's pretty basic. It's whatever capacity you need and whatever budget you have, we have a solution for you.
Well, I'm well aware because I get a press release almost literally every single week from you guys out of HQ in Taipei. And it's like, I wonder if they couldn't benefit from aggregating those into a monthly release. But, I guess right. If you want to get all these things out and all the solutions out, that you just send them when they're ready, right?
Yeah, it's even for us, it's a little overwhelming sometimes, but in a good way. We got new stuff, and it just shows that our guys in HQ and R&D are always working.
So what do you, one of the things that I know Kevin from the testing side really loves about the NAS platforms that you guys offer is really a flexibility message, because you've got, like you said, I don't know how many SKUs you have, 8,000, but you've got your typical four bays, eight bays, whatever. But then you guys are doing some cool things where you're putting a lot of 2.5 inch in, and you've been doing that for some time to give kind of a leg up on the flash market. And then of course you're doing M.2's internal and all sorts of other things. But when you think about what you've done from a system design standpoint, is that the same driver, whatever you want, we'll make kind of mentality, or are you guys trying to look at emerging trends from a technology standpoint and trying to get out ahead of that curve?
Yeah, in a sense, it's a little bit of both, both kind of sides of the coin. We really got into the whole flash drive thing with the features that we have, like our queue tiering and caching. So we started making different solutions that had both. You know, this was about four or five years ago. We came out with our first NAS models that had both 3.5-inch, 2.5-inch drives. And now we have a couple models that are all flash, and pretty much all our models support flash. You know, with the drive tray, the universal drive tray. But yeah, it's pretty much we wanna stay, you know, a little bit ahead of the trends, but it also pushes us to think of new features and stuff to fully utilize the whole flash capability.
So, speaking of flash, I don't know how much of a sense of it you have in terms of how much flash is deployed in QNAP systems, you know, throughout your broad customer base, but do you have any sense of, you know, unit distribution that you're moving that would, you know, probably have flash in it versus disk? Is there, you have any stats on that?
That, not off the top of my head. Do all the units?
Yeah. I'm picking on you.
Yeah.
The thing is that because we don't sell the drives with the NAS,
right,
the customers go out and purchase them, and we do not have any connection from our servers to the NAS, so we never receive any information about how many customers are using all flash devices or how many of them are using hard drives. And because they are standalone devices, we never get that information. So it's hard to say how many customers are using more flash drives and how many customers are using just all hard drives.
Well, you know, that's fair. And I know that you guys sell through a lot of partners, and the partners will, you know, go to, you know, customer site, figure out the needs, and then deploy the system and storage and whatever else is needed. So I do see how you lose visibility there. You do have a number of systems like the, what is it, one of the newer ones, the ES2486DC. That's a 24 drive all flash, or designed to be all flash system. Have you guys seen a decent uptake in the rack mount systems for higher end workloads, or is it still the bread and butter, kind of that 4 to 8 bay tower system?
So yeah, there is an uptick on our higher end model, especially when we introduce the ZFS based operating system that's geared towards more enterprise units or enterprise customers. We have seen a lot of customers move to those, a lot of sales for our ES models.
Yeah, I do believe we've got one sitting in the rack at the moment that we're excited about taking a look at. So I'm glad that's coming along. I do wonder about, from, you know, the enterprise perspective, we've talked about already sort of the duality of being able to serve such a broad customer base. But one of the things you guys launched or updated on this week is the Hyper Data Protector, one of my various weekly announcements from QNAP. Why don't you talk about that a little bit? Because I think the concept of backup, I mean, NAS has been there forever as a target, and now you're saying, hey, customers, we'll give you a license to back up your VMware and Hyper-V environments straight to the QNAP NAS. So tell me a little bit more about how that came to be and what you're looking to do with that tool.
All right, so yeah, the Hyper Data Protector is an application that we just released as an application this week. It's more geared towards having your VM, having a backup for your Hyper-V and VMware and VMs backup on the NAS. So you have a NAS already. We just provided a tool for you to back up your VMs onto your QNAP NAS, because we have a lot of our customers that are already using other applications to back up their Hyper-V VMs and VMware, and they were requesting a tool that is built into the QNAP to back up. And we have offered that tool as a license free, because customers do not need to purchase a license to get that tool. So it lowers your TCO, or cost of ownership for the, sure, QNAP, and it's, again, that's our major selling point for that particular application. And it also helps you reduce the troubleshooting point as well, because now you're eliminating a whole new software, a whole new device, because without Hyper Data Protector, you need to have a backup device that goes out and backs up those VMs onto the QNAP, But with Hyperdata Protector, now you have an application that is built into the QNAP. And the target is already the QNAP, so it's already backing up your data. So if anything goes wrong, you just have to look at one device, which is the QNAP, to troubleshoot your application as well as the storage as well.
Well, it's certainly good for, well, being free is a good start. Now, we've seen from at least one of your competitors, you know, an attempt to charge for that and then ultimately put it back to a license-free status. Do you guys envision keeping this at a no-cost license forever? I mean, is that the future for this app?
So the future at this point, everything that's available as a feature today will be available at free of cost forever for a lifetime of the app. But we're going to add a subscription-based option as well, but that will be adding more features. We just don't know what that feature would be. But all the features that we have right now will be license-free for life.
Okay, so whatever you have now in this version will be there forever, and down the road, if you come out with some more advanced options and so on, that may be licensed. Okay, well, that's fair enough. So what do you think about in terms of, you know, if we're going to use the NAS for a backup target, you're providing an application to make that free and easy. The customers that are using a NAS for backup need to be aware of backup strategy. And sometimes I worry about that with small business. You don't have to look much further than some of the looting that's taken place at retail outlets, where if all your data is on that one system and now that system's gone, then we've got a problem, right? So there's a lot of this education that needs to take place in terms of best practices. And I know you guys are doing some work in the cloud and you've got a bunch of different cloud projects, but how are you talking to your partners and your customers about whether it's replication or if it's back up to the cloud, or just what does that conversation look like from a QNAP perspective?
So for that, we do have multiple options for our customers. We recently released our new operating system, which is QUTS Cloud, which actually you can spin up a actual QNAP NAS on the cloud. So you can set up a whole application, suites of application. You can use all these same application that you're able to use on the QNAP, but you're using it on the cloud. So, and then you can use it with a physical NAS and then set up the cloud as a backup destination. So you work with the physical NAS. So the physical NAS backs up all your local information, and then it just backs up that information to QUTS Cloud over the cloud. And in case if, let's say, you lose access to the physical NAS, if something goes down, if it's, as you mentioned, if it's looted or if it's damaged, you can quickly spin up the QUTS Cloud over the cloud and start using that data on the cloud. And then because QUTS Cloud, you can still access all your applications, you would not notice the difference between how you're accessing the data. So that's one of the options.
So that QUTS Cloud is on S3 now, is that right?
It is. Yes, it is available on S3 and multiple other cloud providers as well.
Okay, so is that available in the marketplace? How does that work? You just show up and I can buy a QUTS instance through Amazon? Or tell me a little bit more about that process.
So we're working on the marketplace application, but right now it's an image download that we provide. And then you can download the image and spin up your own VM or on the Amazon cloud.
And at that point, you're just specifying what a capacity requirement and a performance tier of some sort. And then you're living within a web version that looks and behaves just like the on-prem QNAP NAS that you have, right?
Exactly. So first you download the image. And then you purchase a license for QUTS Cloud, and then you upload the image onto your cloud provider. You select your number of cores you want for the CPU and number of RAM and the storage as well. And then you can start using QUTS Cloud.
How is that licensed by QNAP? Is that a capacity license?
Yes, capacity license. So number of CPU, number of cores.
Okay. Interesting. I know it's early, but do you have any sense of any early customer experiences with that product?
As we just released it, we do not have much information about the customer information yet.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that turns out, because I think that's a real easy way to get to that offsite location for, you know, especially in the notion of backup, having an easy to consume offsite location. Now, I know a lot of your channel partners, some of them are MSPs that might also offer a replication site, but you know, this is pretty easy to spin up on your own. Well, maybe not quite on your own. I'm sure you guys will do some documentation on that, but if you're not familiar with doing these things in the cloud, it can be a little bit of legwork to get going.
Yeah, so we have a lot of how-to videos and as well as guides to actually give you very detailed step-by-step information about how to spin up a QTS cloud on each of the platforms we provide. So it's very easy to use as long as you follow the guide.
Okay, so I know you were talking that's one iteration of cloud integration with QNAP. What else are you guys excited about from the cloud standpoint?
So yeah, so hybrid backup sync allows you to back up your data over to the cloud, and also you can use the sync application to keep data from local device to the cloud. So and then we also have the application called Hybrid Mount, which if you already have data on the cloud, you can actually connect that to the local NAS, and then all your local users will be allowed to access that data as if it's stored within the QNAP. So because if you have noticed, accessing data on especially block-based storage like S3, it's not easy for local users to access that data. And especially if you have multiple users that want to access that data, it's pretty hard to access the data, giving them permissions to and then downloading and uploading data. So with the new application, QNAP will connect to S3, and then it will provide local access to your local users. So your local users are only accessing the QNAP, and then they will be able to see the S3 data, and then QNAP will be the one that's uploading and downloading data. And you can use it as a cache mechanism as well. So your most used data from the cloud will be cached onto the local QNAP. So basically,
yeah, that was another one of your releases this month. Yeah. You guys had an update to Hybrid Mount for 1.2. And yeah, so I think it's neat the way you're talking about that to keep the interface and the obfuscation layer being the NAS, and then letting it sort of manage the relationship with the cloud rather than putting that to the customer to manage. And I know you've got, we talked about Amazon for QUTS cloud, but you guys have, 25 or more cloud partners for Hybrid Mount. And one of my favorites is actually Wasabi, because from a cost profile, those guys are doing a pretty amazing job. And it seems like that might be a good opportunity for Hybrid Mount for customers that want that expansion into the cloud, but want to have tighter control over the cost.
Yes, so Wasabi is actually one of our most used cloud providers as well. Apart after Amazon. So yeah, a lot of users use that because of the cost perspective.
Yeah, they've done a good job to mitigate the some of the biggest fears around cloud, like egress costs. So I think they'll continue to be popular. Although, a lot of people just don't know that they're out there because Amazon and GCP and Azure make all the noise. they're just sort of quietly sitting back there, doing their thing, which is cool. But not enough people know about their thing, I don't think. Hey, Eric, so I know one of the things that you also pride yourself on in terms of, we talked about Flash and in terms of technology, but you guys have really been driving the 2.5 gig wave, and we're seeing it pop up in pretty much all of your SMB tower products at this point. You've got a number of switching products. What are you guys seeing with 2.5 inch and or 2.5 gig, and what makes you so confident that that's a good path forward for smaller orgs?
Yeah, I mean, We started with the whole 10 gig, quote unquote revolution. You know, we started putting 10 gigs on all of our, a lot of our NAS models, even some of our lower end, SMB models. And, we still see 10 gig as something that, the industry will, or the market will eventually catch up. It's just, we wanted to give other alternatives too. There's some folks that they want a little more performance, but not ready for an entirely costly 10 gig environment. So we started with our 53D series, which we just released, and that has a 2.5 gig port. But along with that, we also have a whole lineup that we just released, a whole lineup of switches that are primarily 2.5 gig. So they're combo ports. They can support different speeds, but we're trying to make it affordable, kind of a one-stop shop for 2.5 gig. And we also have cards as well that we just came out with. You can get a 2.5-inch card for about $40. So we're giving you the card, the switch, and also the capability on your NAS to have a complete 2.5 gig environment. And we figured we'd go that route and make it accessible.
Yeah, we just reviewed that 3081C, the unmanaged guy, and actually we've got this pod will drop on Friday. We'll have a video out probably a little bit right before that. But yeah, we took a look at SIFS and iSCSI and pulled out a couple charts using that 453D, and it's pretty amazing the difference just in the iSCSI workloads, like in 4K, read-write, we're over double the IOPS performance, and that's just on hard drives. So, I think when you're looking at these things, thinking about when you have multiple users, it's a little different if you're just streaming media or something like that. But if you've got a bunch of users hitting these things, you're effectively 2.5 times faster on a 2.5-inch, or I don't know why I keep saying 2.5-inch, because I'm thinking yeah, storage. I think I made you do it all once, right, too, but 2.5 gig on the interface is pretty slick.
Absolutely. And again, it's you got so much more performance and at a cost that doesn't break the bank. So we're really excited about it, and it's a pretty hot thing right now. You look on YouTube, a lot of folks, 2.5 gig switches, and you see a lot of stuff out there. So we really think this is going to be not the next big thing, but a good next thing. Let's say.
Well, yeah, and I think it's neat that you guys are doing it on the switching side too. It's the adoption from a lot of the bigger brand networking guys has been slow, though. So you guys have almost had to go develop the market for NAS and drive that awareness. But you've done that, like you said, with 10 gig before. I know we did a piece earlier this year at the end of last year about affordable 10 gig in a small business or home lab. And you guys are really helping to spearhead that. But on the other side, you guys are doing all sorts of other accessory cards. Like, you've got a fiber card, don't you?
We have our fiber channel card as well. And we have a whole, it's just crazy. Every time I look at our website, I always see new stuff, new cards. But we have a whole array of different cards, starting from our fiber channel to our 10 gig cards. We have our M.2, which fit in a PCIe slot that give you 10 gig connectivity or also SSD connectivity. SSD speeds as well. And now we have our 2.5-inch gig. So it's, we have adapters. I mean, there's so much stuff that's out there. We're just trying to give everybody what they want.
I love how I've screwed you up so bad on 2.5-inch instead of 2.5 gig. Oh, man. You'll be saying that wrong for weeks now.
Exactly.
I know you guys are also proud of your innovations on the software side. We talked about some of that already with backup and cloud connectivity and that sort of thing. What's the latest on the software front? I know, you know, you've got a couple different operating environments depending on the hardware, but you know, what's the latest there?
Yeah, well, we just launched our new QUTS Hero OS, which we have a whole series of NAS models that it's a ZFS-based operating system, so it's pretty awesome for you know, you got your virtualization guys, and or you got you got data protection, extra data protection, and or data integrity. You got better performance. You got more flexibility with Razor and a whole bunch of other apps. So it's pretty. I mean, we have two NAS models with two different OSs, we're pretty excited about that. We just came out with the Tower series for our QTS Hero lineup, but we have a whole lineup of rack models as well. So, you know, higher performance and better data integrity with that QUTS Hero.
And most of that's pickup from ZFS underlying that. Is that the core driver for you?
Yes. Yeah. It's all ZFS based.
Yeah. So, our QES operating system that was released a few years ago. A lot of users love the ZFS application of our QES operating system, but they were missing our app ecosystem and right. ease of use that QTS always offered for many years. So HQ worked on that, and then this new operating system is an answer for those users, which actually uses, because ZFS already gives you a lot of built-in features like caching mechanisms and very self-healing capabilities, more RAID support. So HQ wanted this features to be integrated with QTS, and this QTS Hero is the answer for that. So QTS Hero is basically for your data protection efficiency and flexibility as well, with performance as well. So, and then we have our feature-rich QTS application integrated onto the operating system, so you can get ZFS with and as if you it'll be the same experience as if you're using a QTS NAS.
So yeah, I think you get some dedupe and data compression available to you as well. Is that something we'll see?
Yeah, so with efficiency, you get inline compression and inline replication. Right. So this allows you to compact your data. So especially if you're using an all-flash SSD NAS, because it offers inline compression and inline replication, which happens before the actual data is actually written to the drives. So it actually helps save the SSD life as well. So that's with efficiency.
So I know you said you're going to do some towers in that with ZFS and Hero as well. Do you expect to keep a parallel path though of offering both versions?
Yes. So oh, yeah. We will be. Yeah.
So is there a the hardware required for the ZFS OS though, is that a little bit more intensive? Is that why you start more at the enterprise and scale down from there?
Yeah, so ZFS it requires more RAM and CPU support. So that is why we have a higher end CPU and more RAM. NASs that have more RAM, because deduplication does require a lot of RAM.
Right.
So we expect a lot of users to use that features, and that's the reason we have NASs that support more RAM supporting ZFS for now.
Will that be for your rack mount or for your larger rack mount? I know you've got some small ones too. Will that be the default offering going forward, or will you still offer both even in your higher performing models?
Yeah, we plan to offer both options. Actually, three options. QES will still remain for high level enterprise units, because that is our that is our base operating system that has no features, just ZFS, just purely performance for customers that require just performance and no other features. So that will be our high end enterprise units with dual controller. We still be offering, and then for other models, we'll be offering QTS Hero as well as QTS for customers who require either or.
So what you're telling me is I'm going to get two emails a week on new products soon instead of just one.
Most likely.
Pretty much. Pretty much. so that's pretty cool. I I think that all makes, you know, a lot of sense. And, you know, it's a lot of products, so we're going to have to do a good job of continuing to educate people as well. What other use cases are you seeing growth in for, you know, for your NAS customers? I know we've talked about surveillance a lot before, but in terms of packages that you're putting together, either from the software side or sort of recommended solutions for typical use cases, what else are you seeing there that's exciting?
Actually, we're trying to give users, because as users purchase a NAS, a lot of users purchase a NAS, we want to give them as much applications, as much features as possible. So with Hybrid Data Protector, we already that allows you to now back up your VMs at license free. We also have released BoxSafe that allows you to back up your emails from Microsoft 365 and Google G Suite. That is also available on our NASs as well. So that is another features that we just released a few months ago.
Well, yeah, that's interesting though, Deval. How do you think about, like, how do you guys figure out what to go do? I mean, there's a thousand different directions you could go. How are you making the determination about what you guys should be doing? And if, you know, with all these recent launches, you must have, you know, 20 or 30 other things in the pipeline. I'm just sort of curious how that qualification process works.
So, well, we look at the market trend first to see what the market is heading to. So if you have noticed, a lot of customers are looking into cloud a little bit more than in past years. So that's why we're focusing more on cloud. So that's, we have our HBS3 that's supporting more cloud platforms. Then we have QTS cloud. So some customers are looking or using more like Google G Suite or Microsoft 365 as their
right.
email applications, and so that's been increasing, and we've been seeing that as well. And BoxSafe was an answer for that.
So one of the things Eric brought up before is Thunderbolt 3. We think about that as the domain of, you know, creative pros, but they may not be thinking about interfacing with a NAS like that, since, you know, kind of the end part is the network, and Thunderbolt 3 is typically direct attached domain. So how do you talk to creative pros about that ability in some of your NAS systems?
Yeah, so we approach it in the sense of collaboration. You know, you got a lot of these guys who are video editing professionals. They're recording, you know, they're editing 4K, 8K raw video, and they want to easily, you know, find the easiest way to set it on their, have one centralized location where they can store it, edit it, collaborate on it. And the NAS gives you that capability. You got somebody in location A, they have, they can direct attach through Thunderbolt 3, transfer all their video editing stuff onto the NAS. You got somebody in location B, you can edit directly off of the NAS as well. So you can, you know, you have the editing software, you can edit on the NAS, and you got several people kind of adding their own recipe to whatever editing job. So it just makes it a lot easier to have one location, one place to edit, and you know, you can share, you can do whatever you want onto the NAS. So and some of our NAS have multiple Thunderbolt connection ports as well. So it just makes it a whole lot easier for a collaborative workflow. Mm-hmm. And so that's the approach we take. And there isn't, I mean, the next thing out there, I mean, and you got an affordable way to look at it. I mean, some of these NAS models are roughly about 25, maybe $3,000 for a 12B NAS. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the next thing out there is, you know, you're looking at it. Jellyfish, you know, you're talking about $30,000 for you know, a solution that does the same thing. So, you know, you pop in some drives and you're still going to have a solution that's a fraction of the cost of you know, something that can do the same job.
Right. And I think one of the other appeals with what you guys are doing is that you could start with a number of the models kind of smaller if you're, you know, a smaller shop or just need something that's, you know, maybe smaller and portable, and then add on with, You've got JBOD expansions and all sorts of other expansion options depending on the underlying solution, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's expandable. You know, we got PCIe slots on all of our stuff, so you can add on expansion units. And it just gives users a lot of flexibility to store and archive, much of the creative stuff that they need.
Yeah, I don't. That's a nice angle, and I think it's continues to complete the story. And one of the other things that you guys are working on, again, that we've talked a lot about already, is application, but. I know we've messed around with the surveillance app before. Kevin's always reconfiguring our security cameras in the office and messing around with that. You guys have which is useful at this point in time. You've got a video conferencing thing too. I haven't used that one. What can you tell me anything about that?
Yes. Yeah, so CoinMeter is an application that we released, allows you to perform a video conferencing call between two QNAPs, or you can actually do a video conferencing between a QNAP and an Avaya system as well. We'll be adding more systems as well for compatibility. But just add a camera as well as a USB camera as well as a microphone and a speaker. And then there you go, and you have a video conference system right at your hand. And the CoinMeter allows you to actually record that conversation for future references, as well as it will allow you to. And then we're going to be adding more features like AI features, like if you speak another language, the QNAP will allow you would actually translate it and as a subtitle, and it will show you on the screen as well. And then we have. Yes, that will be a feature that will be coming in for CoinMeter as well. And then we have wireless presentation. So let's say if the conference room is quite big, and then users that are sitting towards the back of the conference room, they're not able to see what's exactly being projected, they can actually just wirelessly log in via their laptop and then look at the presentation and then listen to the audio from the conference room.
Yeah, that's useful these days. While we were talking, I pulled up some of the apps in your software store. There's a pretty amazing number of things in here that, including like facial insights and facial recognition and more file support and all these other things, VJBOD Cloud. I mean, you guys have done a pretty good job over the years of building out the software connections, either through yours or I suppose some of these through partners. Does that continue to be a big focus for you guys in terms of expanding the functionality these boxes offer?
Absolutely. I mean, we got. You could do what you can with the hardware, but I mean, we look at software, it's pretty endless. You know, as long as the NAS has the capability of handling any of these features, I mean, like I don't see it slowing down any bit. Our R&D team is pretty strong about always developing new stuff, and they're always working hard.
Yeah, I know Kevin likes was messing around with some of the container stuff too you guys were starting to work on, and you know, there's a lot of developers, software developers, application guys, there's a lot to hear that maybe not everyone knows about, so that's pretty cool. Well, hey, you know, I really appreciate you guys coming on and giving the update on all of these things, all these functionalities, and continuing to support us with endless amount of news, obviously, and review systems. But great to have you on. I appreciate you guys jumping in.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.